May our hearts always trust that Jesus is in control with our family members and is able and committed to bringing them to Himself. Lord, help us to stand back and wait for Your arm to move and to be there to catch them when they fall. Amen. Well, I've come to the point where I've done all that I can to influence good people that there is a need for purity and abstinence before marriage. I cannot say another word, yet I am hurting, seeing that my entreaties have gone unheeded. I hate to see head-on collisions with brick walls, but sometimes that is the only way. Yet I pray and hold out hope for mercy. And yet, you know, I've seen it time and time again. The Lord taps us on the shoulder many times, bumps into us, puts his foot out in the aisle, and we trip over it so we can see a little more clearly. You know, it causes our car not to start, or causes us to run out of gas halfway there. Or then there's the accident, and then there's the brick wall, or head-on with a semi. And he doesn't like those kind of collisions. He'd rather that a soul gets the hint when they get tapped on the shoulder so that they don't have to go through more traumatic means for him to get their attention. Well, Jesus continued, and he said, Claire, I see your pain. I honor your prayers, and I intensely dislike head-on collisions. Yet there will be circumstances that will cause them to come to me, circumstances that only I can change. In that moment, they will come and repent, and I will answer their prayer. From that point on in their lives, I will be consciously in partnership and in charge of their life and destiny. For now, what you are asking is impossible for them, just as it would be for you. And that's because of their state before the Lord, before any of this got started. But I have my ways of driving home to them just how serious I am about a marriage. Just as they found each other, they can lose one another. I will not contend forever. I am a holy God, and I will not contend with men or women forever. But I will act on their behalf. My chosen ones, in your dealings with your relatives, I want you to know that I am in control. I have taken on their case because you took on my case. You care for my business, the business of saving souls, supporting ministries, praying, and going out of your way to show my love to others. All of that has qualified you for me to take on your loved ones with a particular seriousness for their conversions and sanctifications. What pains you also pains me. When you see them sinning and pulling further away from me or ignoring me, do not become despondent. I have a detailed plan for their conversions, and what you cannot do, I can. I remember when my mother, just as an aside, I was in the library for a couple of minutes, and I just picked up a book and opened it, and I opened right to that, what's impossible for man is possible for God. What a confirmation. And I remember when my mother came to visit us, I talked to her about the Lord, and all she could talk about was New Thought, another New Age movement. When she left, I was despondent. Lord, how will she ever come to you? He answered me, what is impossible for man is possible for God. Nothing is impossible with God. And that gave me peace. Eventually, she accepted the Lord and gave her life to him. And after she passed, she and the Lord came to visit me, and she said to me, you were right, because when she was dying, I don't think she believed me about heaven, and she could let go and would be okay. The neat part was, he came for her. Most people, I think, who have resisted God so much all their lives don't have that pretty of an ending. But I believe he did this for her because we have given him our lives for many, many years. And I do know that she's prayed for us. Jesus continued, yes, that is true, but also remember my mercy. She had been praying to God for most of her life, especially when things were impossible. You didn't hear her prayers for you, but I did. She was not able to provide you with the childhood you needed to grow up straight, Claire. But she did pray for you, and I had my hand on you, dearest. I had marked you to someday be my bride, and now you are, and I couldn't be happier. Oh, gosh, thank you, Lord. That's so sweet of you to say that. Well, I tell you these things so you can see that I am the perfecter of your faith, your children's faith. I know how to bring them into full-time devout service to me, and there is an intricate plan laid out for every one of them. So what you are struggling with now, I have control over. No more struggles, only faith. And for you all, my precious ones, don't fret over temporary setbacks. If you could see the real picture that not even they see, they are on a giant conveyor belt that loops around when lessons have to be experienced again. They only see current circumstances, but my conveyor belt of grace is carrying them closer to me, yet they don't perceive it. Over time, they make plans out of my will, and I have a loophole to get them back on track. So they go round the long way and end right up where they started, until they choose the correct path. How ingenious my strategies are, and yet they're not recognized. When they see themselves back at the same crossroads, they do not recognize that I've arranged that. Rather, they see happenstance. It just happened. It's a coincidence. But they've made the loops, sometimes seven loops over a period of years, until they exhaust all the possibilities except one, me. And I wanted to share with you, I saw a video last night of a German man, extremely intelligent man, well, you know, wanting a relationship with Satan isn't too intelligent, but a very intelligent man, and just as the man was seeking power from Satan, he would have nothing to do with Christianity, no power there, he thought. So he sought out a very dark secret society in Germany where he lived. When he was initiated, he was so happy to be a part of them. Satan even came to him and asked him which side of him did he want to be a part of, the light or the dark. He answered, "The light side, because your name is Lucifer and I like the light." Well, then his life began to be crushed by demons of every sort. Everything started going wrong. He was being taken on horrendous trips where he was shot through with tremendous pain, greater than a lightning strike, in his own words, and other horrendous things that were done to him, and the threats and ugliness against him wore him down so far. He had to check into a mental hospital. And then, after all his options ran out, there was a man there, another inmate, that told him how Jesus had pulled him out of the darkness. In that moment, a very different kind of peace came over him, and he turned to the Lord. And now he's making music for the Lord. Jesus continued, "This man thought he was in charge of his destiny. But I had a plan for his life, a detailed plan. He exposed himself to the most degrading tortures and received them thinking this was the way to Satan's favor. Yet he was only on a loop that I could see ended in my arms. This is the way I am with so many of my dear ones. When your relatives resist you, don't engage them in useless arguments. Love them and wait. Step back and wait. Then catch them when they fall, for they surely will fall, and you can catch them then. I say this to all of you. Claire is not the only one experiencing the plight of her children. Many of you are struggling in the very same way with your loved ones, and I want you to know I am still in control. Just as you have given yourselves to me, as a love offering, that I may do as I please with your lives, I too have committed myself to rescuing them at the appropriate time. And sometimes that is a painful turn of events that you cannot shield them from. Do not stand in my way and prevent those circumstances. If they are heavily committed to their own way, let them go. Stand back in charity, in love, patience, and wait. Be loving, be supportive, be there for them in a non-threatening way. So many of you do not know how to wait on me. You rush ahead and try to push your families into place. You can't do that. It has to come from their spirits inside of them, a commitment that only I can inspire them to do. All your attempts get in the way and cause them to back off even further because you've become so nauseating to them. And I've found that it's so typical. The children, no matter what age they are, tend to resist their parents' advice. There's just kind of this built-in thing that says, oh, that's just mom, or that's just dad, or that's what they think, but we know better. It's just built in. So it's probably better to back off early in the game and let it go because you don't want to become a stumbling block for them. You know, the Lord will prove the truth of what you have said to them. But if you keep pushing at it, it kind of brings up a dynamic from childhood that it's just not good. The last thing the Lord said was all your attempts to get in the way and cause them to back off even further because you become so nauseating to them. Dear, dear, dear ones, I am in control. Stand back, wait on me in the posture of complete unconditional love and catch them when they fall, not with condemnation, but with comfort and a word of encouragement.